Hello and welcome to this Advent reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're going to come to light our Advent candles now. There is plenty of darkness in this world and it seems to get closer every day. But Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world and he calls us to bring his light to the world. During Advent, the coldest and darkest time of the year, we light the Advent candles to remind ourselves that Jesus came into the world to bring light. There are also different traditions that have different meanings attached to the lighting of these candles. For the first Advent candle, the meaning we're most probably familiar with is hope, but it has also been used to refer to prophecy, or even to the patriarchs. Likewise, the second Advent candle is often used to think of as peace, but is also used to think of as preparation, and the Bethlehem candle. So we're going to light our two candles today, and we're going to think about all those different meanings, because as we think about the Christmas story, it's not just about the events of the Nativity, it's about the whole of human history. And so it's important to think back to right at the beginning of the world, to right in the future when Jesus comes again. So let's light our first two candles. Let us pray. The day is near, and so we wait. We wait with hope for the brokenhearted to be lifted up, for the downtrodden to be restored. We wait for the coming of the Christ child, and in the meantime, we light the candle against the darkness. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are the God of the whole universe, and yet we can call you Father. You have revealed the hope of Jesus Christ to us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to trust in the promises you offer to us in this season of Advent. And as we worship together, we offer ourselves to you. We open ourselves to your abundant grace. Help us, Lord, to prepare for your birth as we follow you faithfully every day of our lives. Amen. So we're going to be looking, as I said earlier, the Christmas story is not just about the events that we find in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The story of God coming into the world echoes across all of human history. There has been this has been part of God's salvation plan since humanity first rebelled against God and chose to sin. And so that's why when we lit those first candles, I remembered that the first Advent candle represents the patriarch's candle, or also the prophet's candle, because the coming of Jesus has been prophesied about and waited for with great hope and expectation for millennia. God didn't just decide to send Jesus into the world on a whim. No, this was a plan that was created thousands of years ago. And so, because the story of Christmas started thousands of years before the birth of Christ, this morning we're going to be considering the story of Sarah and Abraham, the story of hope and expectation, of promise and fulfillment. So let me read from Genesis 18, 1 to 15, and then Genesis 21, 1 to 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to greet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, that you may, and then you may wash your feet and rest under the trees. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, and my lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." So why are we starting our Advent story here, in the story of Abraham and Sarah? Well, part of it is because Matthew starts his story of the Christmas story in the Gospel. In Matthew chapter 1, there is a bit that I imagine many of us, myself included, tend to skim past to get to the main part of the story, the genealogy of Jesus. And Matthew starts with the genealogy with, "Abraham was the father of Isaac." This simple line doesn't truly reflect the enormity and the miraculous nature of the story that led to Abraham becoming the father of Isaac. Because it wasn't a simple story. It was a story of hope, expectation, longing, and waiting. And the Advent season is a season of hope, expectation, longing, and waiting. And so it seems appropriate that when we think about this story, we can think about Advent as well. In Genesis 12, God spoke to Abraham and told him, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is a pretty bold promise and would be amazing to anyone who heard it. But it would have been absolutely astonishing to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was considered to be barren, unable to give birth to children. And at the point that God had spoken to Abraham, Sarah was well past childbearing years, likely being in her 60s, 70s. And so even if she had been able to give birth to children, She now would have been too old to do so. So God's promise that Abraham would be a father to a great nation just didn't seem to fit with the facts of their lives. Sarah had had to live with the pain of being childless at a time when it was considered shameful to be barren. She would have had to deal with mocking comments and scornful giggles all throughout her life. I wonder what she would have felt when God told Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. Was this announcement like rubbing salt into an already painful wound? Would it have felt like God himself had started to mock her childlessness? Or was she able to feel the faintest spark of hope and joy that God had heard her fervent prayers and was finally answering? It certainly would have seemed that what God had told Abraham was an impossible promise, so how could they have possibly believed it would happen? Let me read you an extract from a book called Women of the Nativity by Paula Goodyear, and this is the book that we're using through our Advent series. So this is her take on Sarah as she was experiencing it. "We have to follow. Have faith. It will be fun," said Abraham. I doubted this and was in the middle of rolling my eyes at the thought of wandering about waiting for some kind of God to tell us to stop when he continued, "And I will be the father of a great nation." This was too much. That familiar bubble of laughter formed in my belly again. "There's a bit of a problem, don't you think? You are old. I am old. Where precisely is this nation coming from?" "The Lord has promised," said Abraham steadfastly. "We must have faith." I looked at him and shook my head. I didn't know this God he was talking about. He might have appeared to Abraham, but he hadn't appeared to me. I did, however, have faith in my gentle, thoughtful husband, and hoped that would be enough. Have you experienced a seemingly impossible promise from God? Perhaps he has promised you something specific, and you're struggling to trust that God will come through with his promise, much like Sarah did. Perhaps you feel in some way barren, that you feel your capacity to experience what God has in store for you just isn't there. Or perhaps you're struggling to believe the promises that he offers to all who follow him. From a human perspective, the promises of God can seem like impossible dreams. The promise of salvation can seem highly unlikely. How many of us have found ourselves thinking, "How can God possibly forgive me time and time again, even though I rebel against him over and over again? How can God choose to love and welcome me as part of his family when I have messed up so much?" But I want to encourage you that God is in the business of making seemingly impossible promises and then following through on those promises. You are loved, restored, saved and forgiven by God, because Jesus came to earth for you and for me. Another seemingly impossible promise that we are reminded of at Christmas is that God is Emmanuel, God with us. This might be hard to believe if you're in a difficult situation, or if you feel lost or abandoned. It can be hard to recognise God's presence when life is hard. But I want to encourage you to have faith that God is with you, holding you close. Nothing can separate you from God's love. So continue to hold on to hope, even when things seem hard. Abraham and Sarah were given the promise of a son, but they had to wait decades before they saw the fulfillment of that promise. There is nothing more grueling than a season of waiting. It can seem endless and sometimes even pointless. None of us like waiting, as it can bring us a sense of anxiety and tension. And When we have to wait for a promise from God to be fulfilled, it can be even worse, because it can make us feel forgotten by God, or we begin to doubt if we've truly heard from God in the first place. I wonder if this is how Abraham and Sarah felt as they waited for a son. And of course, there are different ways we can react to a period of waiting. And we can see quite a few different ways in the story of Abraham and Sarah waiting for their son. One way that we can react to a period of waiting is to try to speed up God's plan by doing certain things that we hope will bring about what we're waiting for. I wonder how many of us have reacted to waiting like this. I know I have. And we are in good company, because we find Sarah struggling with waiting for God. And so in Genesis 16, Sarah decides that she has had enough of waiting. She has had no children. She is barren and old. And so she convinces herself that the promise of God won't happen through her. Abraham will get his promised son, but she convinces herself that she will not be the mother. Her slave Hagar would bear the child for her. And so she says to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children, so sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." In her attempt to hurry God, Sarah ended up making things a lot worse. Abraham had a child with her slave, but Sarah resented Hagar and the child Ishmael, and a great whole mess was created. When we try to rush God and make things happen according to our timings and our plans, we just end up making a mess, and things end up turning out worse than if we trusted God in the first place. Is there a situation that you want to rush God to resolve? Are you tempted to try to sort something using your own strength and wisdom instead of trusting in God and in his plans and his timing? Let the story of Abraham and Sarah encourage you to be patient and trust God. Learn from the mistakes they made, and don't try to rush God and speed up his plans. Know that God knows what needs to happen and when. Don't try to respond to a period of waiting by trying to rush God into action. Another way we might respond to a season of waiting is to become skeptical or even scornful that what we have been promised will ever come about. It's hard to have faith when you've had to wait for a long time, and this was certainly a case for Sarah. Let's listen to Paula Gooder's depiction of her thoughts and feelings again as I read another extract from Paula's book. That was 25 years ago. 25 long years of wandering and hoping and wondering. At what point, I often ask myself, do you give up? When do you realise that the promise you believed in is never coming true? I asked Abraham this many times over the years. Just have faith, he would reply. I had asked him again just a few hours ago. Just have faith, he said, as he always did. And I screamed at him, screamed out all my years of dashed hopes. He had hoped for a great nation to bear his name. I just hope for a tiny human being, the tangible expression of the aching love in my heart. Understandably, Sarah was losing confidence that God would ever fulfill the promise of a son for Abraham. And this is where we find things in the passage that we read about from Genesis 18, which recalls when three men visited Abraham at Mamre to reaffirm the promise that Sarah would bear a child. But Sarah was feeling so broken at this point, sure that she would never have children, that she laughs scornfully at the man's words. So let me read you another extract from Paula Gooder's book. I saw him stand suddenly and heard his voice greeting some strangers. There was a stranger. No, three strangers outside. I heard Abraham shout commands and felt our camp stir into action as the women of the camp ran backwards and forwards, preparing an impromptu feast for our guests. I was too heartsick to join them, so I stayed in the tent alone with my bitterness and despair. I was sitting with my head in my hand when I heard my name. One of the strangers was asking for me by name. It was so odd that it drew me to the tent entrance, where Abraham had sat a little while before. I was just in time to hear the stranger say, "Your wife will bear a son." That familiar bubble of laughter formed in my belly again and burst out of me, more like a snort this time than a laugh. "Why did Sarah laugh?" the stranger asked Abraham. "Why indeed," I thought to myself, "why would I not laugh? The years of waiting, the heartbreak and sorrow, our deepest hopes, mine and Abraham's, raised and dashed so often. If I didn't laugh, I'd weep, and once started may never stop." When we have been waiting for a long time, it can feel like God has forgotten us. So it's easy to give in, to stop believing. But I want to encourage you, don't stop believing. Keep trusting in God and hold on to his promises. When you have to wait, don't wait with skepticism, scorn, or doubt. Instead, we need to learn to wait with expectation and joy, because God keeps his promises. Sarah had given up and had laughed scornfully at the affirmation that she would give birth to a son that the men at Mamre had told her. But God remained faithful, and soon after she became pregnant with a son. When God promises something, he will deliver. And so we need to teach ourselves to wait with expectation and joy at what he will do. To help us with this, we must stay connected to God in our prayers. We must remember what God has done in the past, in our own lives and in the lives of others. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to fill us time and time again so that he can give us strength to trust when we're struggling. Sarah's hopes for a child were finally answered when she was at the old age of 90, well past her childbearing years. The child could only have come as the miraculous work of God, and so she was able to find joy after so many years of heartbreak, knowing that God had answered her prayers. She named him Isaac, meaning laughter, because she had laughed when she was told she would get pregnant. And when Isaac was born, she laughed with joy because God had proven himself faithful. So let's pray. God, help us to wait with expectation, with anticipation. Help us not to be impatient or doubtful or skeptical that you're going to do what you say you will do. Help us not to try to rush you along and do things in our own strength. But give us courage to trust in your promises, to trust in you. Help us to fully recognize that you are always with us and you are faithful to your promises. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.